hello and welcome to another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing my story with premenstrual anxiety, severe PMS, PMDD, when I was diagnosed, what it looked like growing up, and all of that. So I have had this on my heart for a while to share my story, like just to make an episode of it, not just kind of dwindle it or sprinkle it through episodes. And there's been lots of resistance and fear and imposter syndrome and feeling like, well, what do I have to share? Like, you know, it wasn't actually as bad. And I think that's just like the enemy trying to keep me quiet and shut me up and trying to shut this whole thing up. So I'm going to share, and I truly believe that, like in Revelation, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we're going to have Jesus in this. We're going to have testimony sharing, and I hope that you are inspired from it and encouraged by it.
Is the anxiety you get the week before your period feeling too much? Are you just wanting more calm and peace in your mind so that you can feel quote-unquote normal again? If this sounds familiar, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Premenstrual Anxiety Solutions, a holistic and faith-based podcast for women with premenstrual anxiety. I'm Loren, a nurse, reflexologist, Jesus follower, mom, and PMDD warrior. My mission is to help you navigate the turbulence of premenstrual anxiety through things like understanding your cycle, grounding your identity in God, hearing stories from other women, learning nutrition hacks, and so much more, so that you can have more peace and calm in your life. So, if you're ready to get on up from under your duvet, been there, and start this journey together, I encourage you to keep listening. Let's get started.
I'm going to be sharing my story, and I have it written down, so you might just hear pages flipping. I'm also going to be drinking water, and I'm not going to just pause it every time I drink water. So there might just be little pauses here and there. So I would say that anxiety has kind of always been a constant in my story, like since growing up at a young age and all of that. But it really didn't start taking shape until I was in high school in grade 10. I had switched to a public school from a private school, hadn't had my period yet, but the hormones were probably getting on going, because I switched to this school, and it was big and intimidating, and I really didn't know very many people, and social anxiety just started taking over, to the point where I would obsess about being in class and thinking about having to read or being called upon to read, like doing presentations, like anything that involved me being at the center of attention of other people, like that was terrifying. And I remember, like, I worked at an insurance brokerage after school just for like an hour and a half, and I would be filing and just like obsessing, like my mind would just be going like in circles, like, oh, what if this, and then this happens, and then this happens. So that was, when I was, before I turned 16, because I didn't get my period until after I was 16. My birthday's in January. And then I got my period. And then on top of that, there was like this fear of like, oh my goodness, when I get, like, what if I get my period when I'm sitting in science class and I stand up and there's blood everywhere on my butt and people are behind me just like in shock. And so like that didn't help either, which I'm sure so many people, so many young girls can relate to, like, whoa, when is this going to happen? So that was high school for me. And it was just, it was kind of like back and forth, like it wasn't all good. It wasn't all bad, but it was just like these ebbs and flows of like periods where I was like really struggling, feeling really anxious and overwhelmed by everything. Like I was even nervous of like eating in front of people because I felt like, what if my hand shakes and, you know, things like that. And it got to the point too, where like my family would read, devotional after supper, and I was always fine with that, no problem. And then just because of this, like I suddenly started feeling so self-conscious about reading in front of other people when we had guests, and just like second guessing my ability, to the point where like at one point my I just couldn't breathe, like I couldn't catch my breath from reading because I was so anxious. And I remember, I don't know if it was my brother or someone was like, are you okay? It's like, I don't know. And yeah. And so just like things like that, that like suddenly my home didn't really become safe in that sense of just like anxiety was there. And to varying degrees, like some people were helpful and some people weren't. Like my mom was really helpful because she had struggled with similar things when she was younger and would really help me relate it. Like, hey, like this was what would happen to me like before I got my period. Like this might just be what's going on with you too. And then there were other people who were just like I remember talking to a pastor, our pastor, and just like bringing it up and wanting help. And it was just like kind of a pat prayer answer of like, well, let's just pray about it. And that was it. But I felt like I needed more support than that. And there was so much shame as well. Like here I was, the Christian in the school, and I should be the confident one and bold and talking. And it just was not like that. I just felt so scared, so intimidated. So that was high school. And that's kind of where it all started. Just these like ebbs and flows of like, oh yeah, I got this. Like I'm doing super good, super confident. And then the opposite of just like I cannot function. I'm up in the night from restless dreams, just obsessing about things. There was even a point too, I remember like the first Christmas like in grade 10 when this all began, and we were skating, and it was just like after probably a few months of all of this happening, and I just had this thought that came into my mind, and I truly believe it was probably just from the devil saying like things will never be the same again. And it was almost just like this blanket that covered me that was like, okay, and this is your new normal, deal with it. So yeah, so that was high school. Things started then. And like I said, lots of shame, lots of just like, what is wrong with me? Like, what is going on here? And I'm going to fast forward a bit. And when I moved to Vancouver, I went there to finish my nursing. I wanted to work with people in the downtown east side. It's a very poor neighborhood in Vancouver in British Columbia in Canada. And I wanted to work with people with addiction and mental illness. And so I moved out there, like, didn't know anyone. Like, it was a pretty big move for, like, a 21-year-old, if I have to say. Yeah, it started out really well. And, of course, it's kind of like the honeymoon phase of, like, oh, this is great. And then through a series of just events and probably just, like, the stress of it all and changes and like starting a new job as a nurse and like the night shifts and I was in a relationship with a guy and then just found out he told me something like from his past that like I think probably could have worked it out, but then my mind just like started obsessing about things and then I just at that point it was just like I don't know how to handle this anymore, and I think it just kind of escalated everything, and I felt alone and confused, and it got to the point where like yeah, my mental health just dropped, and like I couldn't think properly, I couldn't process, didn't know how to open up with other people as well. I think I was like hiding so much and holding so much to myself. And yeah, it got to the point where my mind was constantly in overanalyzing mode, overwhelm, like anxious, just like spiraling. And there were points where I thought like, I should be in a psych ward. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, something is going on in my mind, and I don't know what it is. And like I would talk to my mom on the phone and kind of tell her what I was thinking, and I remember her saying like, man, I think your mind is playing tricks on you, like something is happening. And this wasn't really connected to, like, I didn't make any awareness of it being connected to my cycle, but I wonder, yeah, like what, I think it just got to this point where it was like it just all consuming at all times, like the stress just like ate me up. Like I actually lost my period for 3 months, and yeah, I think because my body was just probably so stressed out from all the changes, the thing, processing the new things that were happening in my life, like grieving this relationship, but like yeah, my brain was just like yeah, like I felt crazy. Like that's kind of what it comes down to. I felt crazy and I felt like I was so awkward in front of people because my brain was just so like all the time. And it kind of felt similar, like in, well, maybe not to the same degree, but like something that kept coming up in high school is like, is something wrong with my brain? Like I should get a brain scan. Like something is going on in my brain. And same thing. It was just like, something is wrong with my head and I am wrong. And that, oh, that was also like a big part of it. Just like the shame, feeling like God just did not love me. Like why would God love me? Why, like, look at me, I'm a mess. And I could not grasp the idea of grace at that point. Like, it was like, no, grace is not for me. Like, it's kind of classic, like, depression, where it's just like, no, I'm worthless, I'm hopeless, I'm beyond this. And it's just these lies that, like, cover us, that make us think we are beyond the love of God, beyond the grace of God. And that was also all-consuming. I felt like a failure to my family. I was like, oh, if I tell them any of this, I just wanted to go home and crawl in my parents' house and disappear. There was just so many times I was like, what the heck am I doing out here? Like, this is terrible. I would say it was on the verge of suffering. Like, you know, you kind of get to that point where it's like, oh, just push through. And there were comments like that, like, push through, you're doing great. And it was just like, I don't know. You probably don't know to what degree I am suffering here. So that was Vancouver. And there were moments of suicidal ideation as well. Just feeling like, I'm hopeless. Why am I here? I just should end this. Like, just like getting up every day. It was like, why? What's the point? Like, so that was Vancouver, the first year. And slowly things started to change. I started going to counseling, started getting back into the community that I was really hoping to get into from moving to Vancouver, based in the downtown east side. And I also started on meds, like antidepressants. Just someone had advised me, like, hey, like, maybe you just need some reprieve, like some time to simmer and settle and chill. She probably didn't say that, but like, just let your mind have a break. And maybe it's for a year, maybe it's not, maybe it's forever, but maybe just try it. And I'd be really interested to see like what my thoughts were at that time, because I don't remember, because I did it. I went on the antidepressants, but I'm sure there was like hesitation in my mind of like, oh, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be on these, like, what's wrong with me? Don't I have the faith? You know, all of that. And I do remember, like, probably a few months in, of thinking, like, I was having a shower one day. I was like, wow, my mind feels so clear. Is this what people feel like most of the time? So they helped me, and they did good things for me. And so I think after that was when I started really seeing the trend more. Like, I think when things just got a bit more stable in my life, I started seeing the trend again of like how my menstrual cycle tied in with how my mood was. Because there would be times of the month where, I'm just gonna flip my notebook here, times of the month where I would just like drop suddenly into being hypercritical of myself, like depressed, where I'm just like binge watch show after show after show after show in my room, like days on end. And then like after like a week or however long, kind of like crawl out and be like, oh, okay, how do I get back into normal life? I just questioned everything. Like, I was in a new relationship with a guy, but it was long distance. And I just remember every like several weeks questioning that, doubting it, like wondering, why am I doing this? Like, should we be doing this? So just like the heightened over obsession. And also just, yeah, this like overarching fear that like no one likes me, no one cares about me, like anything I say, someone's gonna be offended or I'm going to offend someone. So it was just like these kind of ebbs and flows. And I noticed in that time too, like night shifts really, really impacted that. Like I would get really anxious before night shifts, and the shift itself was usually fine, but I would pay for it. And like my emotions, my mental health would pay for it. So yeah. So like I said, that was kind of the season of just kind of this ebbs and flows, and just realizing when the mood fluctuations were coming and being a bit more aware of that. And fast forward a bit again, and I get to the point where I met my husband, and that was a whole other ball game in itself again. but that was my third relationship. And I think I'd kind of like the first one, I just kind of see it as a spectrum of like the first one. I was a mess, and like I did not know regulation and all of that. And by the second one, it was like, okay, like still, and like obviously all different relationships, and first two were ended for a reason. And so the second one was kind of like more in the middle, like I could recognize where I was at and like be able to share and see, yeah, kind of journey a little bit more together through the struggles and not just like go into obsession and overthinking and like, why are we in this? Like, we need to break out. We need to be done this. And then when I met Graham, I think I was just at this point where I was like, okay, I recognize that I have anxiety with relationships, and I question and I doubt. And I had to be really objective, which was really hard. And think like, is there anything here that is like a screaming no to this relationship? And there wasn't. And so it was like, move forward and keep going. But yeah, those were hard times as well, where some conversations, like, because we were long distance too, like I would just notice myself be like really stone cold and insensitive, and to the point where like, my husband or Graham would be upset on the other side of the phone, or like be crying. And it's like, what? Oh my goodness, he's crying. Like, I just wasn't used to that, I think, as well. And it really humanized him, which was so good, because I needed that. I needed to know he was a human with emotions and feelings. So that was kind of just this thread of relationship anxiety as well. Just gonna look at my notes to make sure I didn't. Oh yeah, and so then, but then it was like seasons of feeling like really good about it and feeling excited and happy, and then others like questioning. And this has also kind of been a theme even after getting married. That's like seasons or times of the month of just feeling like I was the biggest failure for marrying him. Like everyone thinks I'm dumb and stupid, and like, why would I marry him? And everyone thinks it, like everyone's thinking that, they're just not telling me. So like just this obsession going back and forth. And I remember like a year after we got married, like at one point we had a really rough interaction, and I just remember feeling so like we had a lot of anger issues as well, but I just remember feeling so like, again, that stone cold, like just like apathy, like I don't care, like blank face. And I went away for the weekend with some friends, and like God really moved and worked and broke up my heart a bit. But yeah, that was kind of this constant theme of like these ebbs and flows. And at that time I was back into night shifts at that time, so that was another factor of just like night shifts and navigating that. And so, and that's another thing just like that isn't always talked about in Christian circles, of like this doubt and this fear and the questions of like, am I marrying the right person? Because so many people would be like, oh, you'll know. And it's like, I did not know, and I had to go forward afraid. Like I had to just make that decision, like be as objective as I could, and whoo, had lots and lots of fear and lots of anxiety. And I had to just keep coming back to God with that. And it's taken, like, we've been married over 5 years now. Like, it's taken about that much time to, like, come to this place of, like, no. Those are not helpful thoughts. Those, like, you're married. And yeah, Graham is a human, and he makes mistakes, and he sins, and we both do, but you're in this, you're committed. So it's just, that's another part. I think shame is just such an interesting part of, like, premenstrual issues and disorders and tension and PMDD, like, just especially as a Christian, like, oh, I should be trusting God, or I should have peace about this. I should feel great. So another little side note. But at that point, too, I kind of reached this another cracking point. I had started as a nurse, or like a new job as a nurse in labor and delivery. And it was, again, difficult. And I wasn't caring for myself well, overthinking, spiraling thoughts, like the night shifts weren't helping. And I remember coming to these points where I just felt so alone, so distant from myself, from my mind. I hated being alone. That was another thing. I hated being alone. I could not do that well. And I remember going for a walk, I think after a night shift, and my mind was just like in circles, spiraling, overthinking, questioning, like, what am I here for? What, I'm useless. I'm like a piece of crap. Like, just like, there's no point in me being here. I should end this and be done. And that was like the breaking point. And I had had a conversation with a friend, I think a few weeks before then, and she had kind of shared, because I think we had been talking, I don't remember exactly how this conversation started, but she had shared that she had PMDD, and I had actually never heard of it before, So she was explaining her journey, and it kind of just like went into the back of my head. And then I think after this episode, yeah, I decided just to like Google again, like severe anxiety before period, and PMDD came up, and I read about it and learned about it. And I decided to book an appointment with a doctor and like ask like, what are the next steps for me here? And I knew antidepressants had worked for me before, and that was a treatment. And so I had my appointment with this doctor and had like everything written out, like, this is what happened in high school, this is what my mom had, this is what, you know, all the things, as if like I had to like prove it. I was like, something's wrong with me, please just tell me that I have something wrong with me. And she was like, yep, you hit the hammer on the nail, just like that. I was like, oh, okay, oh good, okay. But like, whew, what a validation, like, just to say like, yeah, something's going on, and you're probably right that this is what it is. So validation, just like, oh, so huge with anyone with PMDD, because you're just like wondering, like, what the heck is wrong with me? I feel crazy. I feel like I'm this person 1 week and then this person the next week. And so from that point on, it was like being handed a guidebook of like, this is what's going on with you. This is what you can do about it. Here is like the blessing to move forward. And so I went back on like a very low dose of antidepressants again, and saw a naturopath like I think a few times, started on supplements. This is also, I was really interested, had always been interested in like yoga and stretching well, and just like intentional movement with my body that I could also connect to God with. And so I did like a yoga teacher training at that time, so that just gave me something to focus on and allowed me to move more, and just like being outside and touching dirt. Like, I was really into plants right after we got married, and yeah, so it was just all these things that I started doing, and things started to shift. And like, Graham and I obviously were having we were talking about things more. And so from then on, it was kind of just like this trajectory up of understanding what was going on and just feeling really empowered, knowing why my body was doing this and why it had been doing this for so long. And so I'd say that's like the main gist of my story of like learning, like figuring things out in high school, or like getting my period in high school up until the point where I was diagnosed with premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And since then, like that was 2020, which I mean, that was also a huge year, like COVID and so all these layers to it. But that's like the gist of my diagnosis with PMDD and my story. And yeah, and I would say like since then there's more story to it, like associated with like the fear of having a baby and like what that would look like, and postpartum depression and anxiety and all of that as well. So I think I will just leave it at that though, because I've done really well, because I had other episodes where other times where I was recording my story and it was like 3 episodes. And so I'm just going to leave it here so we don't go like too crazy again. I don't want it to be too long, but that is my story. And also just like sharing too, I'd like to share eventually of what has looked like postpartum, like getting my period back and all of that. So that will be a different episode, but that's the gist of my story. And all I have to say is I am a very different person than I was back in even 2020 when I found out about PMDD. Like just the last 4 years of habit formation and consistency and other reproductive challenges that have like given me resilience, and also just like digging into my identity and God, like that's been huge as well. That's like, no, my identity is not in PMDD. It's not in my mood fluctuations. I'm a child of God, no matter if I'm in my luteal or my follicular phase. So all these things that, hey, we're going to just talk about it on the podcast, but that is my story. I wanted to share it because I haven't really fully shared it before. And there was some hesitation and fear, but I think there's power in our stories and sharing them. So I hope that this encourages you. Hope that it's like a light bulb of like, oh, wow, I can relate to that statement or that happening. And cool, like there's other people who understand. And I just want to say that I see you. And let me know how this jives with you. I'm not really on Instagram right now, but you could always join my Facebook group, Premenstrual Anxiety Solutions, and say hi. And yeah, tell me how you're doing and where you're at with PMDD or premenstrual issues. So, okay, well, have a good day and a good week ahead.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for being here with me. If you have a friend who would benefit from hearing this episode or podcast, send it their way. And if this helped or encouraged you, I would love it if you left me a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps get this golden information into the right ears and is really the best way for you to say thank you. When you leave me a review, I'll also share it right on the podcast. Lastly, please know that this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to take the place of your primary care provider. By listening, you are agreeing to the full disclaimer linked in the show notes. All right, take care, friend.